This is In Focus, featuring interviews with our local newsmakers, information on community programs and politics, and the story on local current events. In Focus on Lake 88.
Good afternoon, I'm Linda Dow. On today's In Focus, we welcome the newly appointed Executive Director of Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust, Carolyn Pichet. Hi, Carolyn. Nice to have you join us today.
Good morning, Linda. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, you know, the Land Trust has never had an executive director. You're the first. So congratulations on that.
Thank you very much. It's a big honor.
So to refresh what a Land Trust is, can you give us some background on its purpose and its mission?
Well, a Land Trust is a nonprofit organization that acquires land for the sole purpose of conserving those lands. We're not a government agency. We are here to protect the local land base and hold on to those lands for conservation for the future generations.
Okay. And as the executive director, what skills and experience do you bring to this new role?
Actually, when I started this role, I laugh a little bit because I absolutely knew nothing about a land trust when I started here 3 years ago. And all I knew was what I saw needed to be protected, and it was important to me that I knew the forests were there. So I actually come from a healthcare background, and I spent years working for small healthcare-based organizations and foundations, but I do bring with me decades of administrative and fundraising. So that's my part in this organization, and I know I can't do the work that our experts and scientists do, but I can sure as heck support them.
But you were in the healthcare role, and so this is the healthcare of the planet.
Exactly.
So still connected, right?
Yes.
What properties are now under the stewardship of the Land Trust?
There are actually 10 properties in our care right now. Six of those properties are owned by the Land Trust, so over 3,000 acres currently in our care. And about 1,000 of those acres are owned by the Land Trust itself. So we've got Burn Big Creek Nature Preserve in Lanark. That's about 100 acres. High Lonesome Nature Reserve, which is one of our more popular public properties. That's in Pakenham. Rose Hill Nature Reserve, all the way up in Denby. The Poole Family Nature Sanctuary in Carlton Place. And Whaleback Woodland Reserve in the Carp Hills. Now, our sixth property is yet to be announced, and we will be doing that in July. It's a 200-acre forest and woodland, wetland property here in Mississippi Mills. So it has yet to be named, but we will be announcing that in the summertime.
Ooh, that's exciting. Maybe we can talk about that later on in the fall when that gets going.
Yes. Well, I think that we'll be addressing it this summer when we do something special with your station.
Okay, when you're talking to Brian about it.
Okay. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Sounds good.
So,
okay, that will be coming up this summer, right?
Yes, in July.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be doing our radiothon.
Okay. We'll be all listening for that. Who are the landowners right now who bequeath their properties? Perhaps you don't want to say who they are. That's okay. My main question is, why do they bequeath their properties to the Land Trust?
Well, there are a couple of different things that people do. So we have conservation easements on four of our properties. And one is a very popular property, and people in the Perth area would certainly know Blueberry Mountain.
Yes.
And that's under conservation easement with us. Right next to it is Clydelands. And then here in the Carlton Place area, we have Keddie Nature Sanctuary and Salamander Forest. Those are under conservation easements. So those landowners have actually joined with us and said, we want to put our property, we still want to live here, we still want to own the property, but we want you to protect it when we're not owning it anymore. So
that's where the easement comes in, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So, but people who donate their property... I'll tell you, Linda, only about half the properties that we own were given it as bequeaths. The others were legacy. They were living legacies. So people enjoyed the giving of the property while they were still alive.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't aware of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these are people who love these properties and want to make sure that there may be nobody in their family who can take the property on. Mm-hmm. They may just say, okay, this is something that I just want to make sure it's always here.
Yes.
And so I'm going to pass it over to the land trust now and make sure that those properties are here for my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids, mm-hmm. and 40 generations away.
And they're alive to see that happen.
They right? are.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. enjoy it. What's involved in the care of these lands as far as the land trust is concerned?
Well, the first thing we do is, the first thing that has to be done is decide whether or not it's going to be a restricted property, which means that nobody goes on the property except our volunteers to do periodic monitoring, or if it's going to be a public property, because it's important for us to have a balance, right?
Okay.
And then a property manager is assigned to that property, and we have to make sure that we're meeting all of our financial obligations, such as taxes and insurance and all that sort of thing. So before we take a property on, actually, we have to make sure that there's an endowment fund in place to carry those expenses over for decades. So we have to make sure that after we leave the organization, that for decades after us, those property taxes, insurance bills, legal bills will still be able to be paid. So we have a huge financial commitment to every property. And then our property managers take over from there. And if they are public properties, our volunteers are always out there making sure that the properties are safe for individuals to be visiting. Or they are out there monitoring to make sure that the species that we know exist on that property continue to exist. They look for new species that may be arriving, and they look for species who may no longer be there, and for potential reasons for that. So it's a big job.
My goodness, I was just going to say the stewardship really involves a lot, doesn't it?
It sure does, and we are so very fortunate to have such knowledgeable and passionate volunteers working with us.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
So you're protecting really endangered species and wetlands and all those things about the property, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the properties that we take on always have a balance of both wetland and forest.
Okay.
Yeah, so if any of your listeners who want to look at the different properties, there's mm-hmm. a very clear description on our website of each property and, you know, the features of those properties and what exactly is on that property that's important ecologically, not only to the species who live there, which is important enough, but to all of us to stem some of the experiences that we're having with climate right now.
Right. I'm just wondering what guarantees do landowners actually have that their properties will be protected for years to come?
Well, we are legally mandated to protect those lands, and we make a 999-year commitment to the properties.
Wow.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, is 99 years in perpetuity? Is that what perpetuity means?
999.
I mean 999.
Yes.
So we're talking about forever. Right?
Forever.
Gosh. That's
forever.
That's a long time.
We're talking 40 generations.
Oh,
if you think goodness. About that. Our children's 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 children.
Oh, it's, my goodness.
It's incredible when you think about it. We are creating tomorrow's ancient forests. That's our goal.
That's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, and it's just so fulfilling. The people yes. who volunteer with us have such passion, and they love to be out there. They love to learn from each other. They love to teach. They love to engage the public. It's just an incredible environment.
I was going to ask you, how satisfying is this work for you? But it sounds like you're very passionate about
it. Not at all. It's horrible. I've never worked for a better group of individuals, and I am constantly learning, constantly.
It's incredible. Sounds like you're in the right place.
It sure feels that way, yes.
What activities are planned for this year?
Well, thankfully, we have been able to reestablish our Discovery Series, which is an educational series that we run for our members. So they're field events, so they could be birding. Our next one, for example, is in July, and it's amphibians and reptiles. It could be, we did one in wintertime, trees and shrubs, like winter trees. So we invite our members to come out and do these workshops with an expert at no cost to them. It's part of their membership. And so they go and explore one of our properties and learn. We have our Festival of the Wild Child is back.
That's very popular, isn't it?
It is a very popular event. And that's coming up on August 27th. It's a family favorite. And we have so many exciting ideas for this year's event. We're going to continue the scavenger hunts that we did through COVID. We're doing a return to the nature stations we did before COVID, and we're adding some workshops, some timed workshops, so that children can go on a nature walk with an expert and do some of those field workshops. There'll be so much to see and do. It'll be, we're hoping that it's just another incredible year for the festival.
Mm-hmm. And all those activities and events and series will be on your website, of course, if people want to check them out for the dates on your website, www.mmlt.ca.
They sure are, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, we have to mention the radiothon on Lake 88 next month.
Right. Okay, and that's happening in July as well. No date has been actually set yet for that, but our listeners will be listening for that, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's to raise money?
It is, yes. Yeah. It's one of our bigger fundraisers of the year.
Let's talk a little bit about, now that we're on to the fundraising thing, let's talk about funding. You don't get any government funding, I understand, but you must have fundraisers, and this will be one of them. Are there any others?
This is one of them. Actually, we just did, we had two lovely ladies who did a birdhouse auction for us online, and that was very successful. That was last month. We do the radiothon, of course. We do direct mail campaigns where we mail out to our supporters, and mm-hmm. and they're very generous. Our memberships are a big part of what sustains us. And then we do things like we apply for grants, of course. This weekend, mm-hmm. for example, our volunteers are receiving first aid, CPR, and defibrillator training thanks to a grant from the Perth and District Community Foundation, who also helped us purchase a portable defibrillator so that when our volunteers are out working on those trails, we know that they're as safe as they can be.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
How important are the volunteers?
The volunteers are everything. They're our heart and soul. Until recently, very recently, I was only working here part-time, and that's the only support this organization had. Everything is done by volunteers. The leadership is volunteers, the trail work is volunteers, the property stewardship is volunteers. All the acquisitions are done by volunteers. Absolutely everything in this incredibly fast-growing organization is volunteer-driven.
You have some wonderful partners as well.
We do. We certainly do. We have people like I said, the Community Foundation. The municipalities are very supportive. There are people like Girl Gone Good, Victoria Walsh. I don't know if you know of Victoria. If you don't...
Yes, I've interviewed her before.
Oh, she's wonderful. Incredible.
Yeah.
And then Somewhere Inn and Calabogie. Both of those folks offer a portion of their sales to support our programs.
Incredible.
There's, you know, businesses who support us where and how they can, as much as they can, and, of course, our very generous community. People are so very kind to us, and it's humbling.
So, Carolyn, if a landowner wishes the Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust to become a steward or stewards of their property. What steps do they take to make that happen?
Well, the first step is to give us a call. Start by having a conversation with the Land Trust. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what your property is so that we can all make sure that we're in a position, the Land Trust is in a position to accept that gift and respect your wishes in the process, because that's important to us. If it's agreed that your property is a good fit, then you can take next steps, and that usually involves having a conversation with your lawyer and detailing that gift out in your will. Or if you're making a living legacy gift, then we proceed with that. We assign somebody to work with you to see that through. But it's always in conjunction with your private attorneys and advisors. So that, okay, because we don't want you to ever feel like you're not getting being respected or have being felt taken advantage of in any way, right?
And I'm just wondering, too, what is involved then on the part of the Land Trust in acquiring those properties?
The same thing. We do what's called, when a property is proposed to us, we do something called a rapid assessment. We, meaning our experts, and not me. I have nothing to do with it.
Do you go out and look at it?
They go out and they assess the property. They look at size. They look at what's on the property, any species at risk, and they make a determination whether or not it fits well into our mandate. If it's linked to one of our other properties, like we have the three linked properties here in Carlton Place, that's ideal. That is just perfect for us.
How do you mean linked properties?
They're attached to each other.
And they're owned by different people?
Two are conservation easements, and one is owned by, has been donated to us.
Okay.
So it gives us 785 acres here in Carlton Place of continuous conservation.
Amazing.
Yes. So there is a whole process. It can take 2 years for this process to complete, whether it's an easement or a donation. It's lengthy, but it's worth it. Because 2 years in the span of 1,000 is not very much at all, is it?
No, when you think of it that way.
Yeah.
What do people do now to become a member?
So to become a member is really easy. You go on the website, mmlt.ca, and click on membership on the homepage. And it'll take you right to the to purchase your membership, and it'll give you all the details of what that entails.
Okay. What are your needs now at the Trust?
What we'd really love to do, our goal, is to be able to be proactive in the properties that we acquire. With the development that we're seeing, you're seeing it in Perth, we're seeing it here in around Carlton Place. Carlton Place is the fastest growing community. These properties are being scooped up and they're being, you know, they're going to be gone. So we'd love to be proactive and choose those properties that are identified as critical to be conserved. And to do that, we need the money to be able to purchase the properties. And that's something where I'm really hoping to help them achieve that goal. And so donations are essential. Support is essential. Becoming a member, helping us spread the word. Those are the big things. Those are the big things.
Okay. Sounds good. I think we have about a half a minute left. Is there anything that you wanted to say that we haven't covered yet?
I just want to remind people that we are we had a pretty big storm a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And all of our properties are currently closed except the Blueberry Mountain Trail, which has reopened. So we would love to invite you back, but we can't do that until we know it's safe for all of you. And but we really look forward to seeing you when the time is right. So to watch our website, and you'll see the information there.
Okay, mmlt.ca.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Carolyn.
Thank you, Linda.
Nice of you to join us today.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Carolyn Pichet is the Executive Director of Mississippi Madawaska Land Trust. I'm Linda Dow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
In Focus on Lake 88.